Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of the Investigate Europe podcast. It is July 2021 and my name is Oliver Moldenhauer. I'm the Executive Director of Investigate Europe, and this podcast is where my colleague Sindhuri Nandakumar and I talk to our investigative journalists about their most recent findings and the way they work. Today's podcast is about our work on elder care in Europe. The work in elder care is crucial to the lives of millions of people in Europe. It is, however, also increasingly in business for multinational corporations and private equity firms. Let me welcome my colleague Harald Schumann, who coordinated this research. One of the founding members of Investigate Europe, Harald is an experienced journalist with more than 30 years of experience. An author of countless articles and several books, his passion is for investigating the impact of corporate power and financial markets on our everyday lives. Hi, Harald.
Hello.
So let us start by hearing the voice of one of the people we interviewed. Please hear Eileen Chapp, who runs the charity Compassion and Care, about what she described from last March when Europe's care homes were ravaged by COVID.
Yeah, so the early calls we were getting, I mean, the thing is, you know, you could see what was coming. You could see what was coming, and it was like your worst nightmare, because you felt like, oh my God, I've never come across anything like this before.
Harald, after your investigation and when you hear quotes like that, what do you say? What is the situation of elder care in Europe?
It's terrible. Actually, I think we have never done an investigation like this one, where we have so much, many people telling about the sufferings of their relatives who are in care homes, or of caregivers, care workers who suffer due to the fact that they have not sufficient time for the inhabitants of the care homes. And so, yeah, it was really, it hurts. It hurts to hear that. And the only good thing in this corona pandemic is that it has shown and demonstrated to a broad public this very bad state of elder care in Europe. You know, nearly 50% of all deaths during the first and second wave of the pandemics died in care homes, or were inhabitants in care homes who came to the hospital too late.
Wow. Harald, can you tell us a little bit more examples about what you heard about the situation in care homes?
The general problem in care homes is that they are understaffed and underfunded. The second being the reason for the first thing, because there is not sufficient money, either from private pockets or from the state coffers, not sufficient caregivers can be hired. Then there is the general relatively low prestige of jobs in this sector, which means that there are just not sufficient people who are skilled sufficiently for this kind of work. Mm-hmm. So all over Europe, care homes look for personnel. This is the general situation. And then additionally to that, there are more and more large private companies and finance investors, so-called private equity companies, who still do and try to make a real business, a big business with this sector. And this is the contradiction which has led us to do this investigation.
But how is it possible that in such a sector where it's so difficult to find people, not that much cash is around, that big corporations make huge profits?
Well, the sector as such is attractive for investors for a very simple reason. In nearly all Western European states, there is a system funded from the taxpayer or from the contributions of compulsory public insurance schemes, mm-hmm. who permanently pay for the people in the care homes. So there is a permanent cash flow. And on basis of this cash flow, you can very easy calculate a business which produces a permanent profit. Be it low or high is not important. The important issue here is you can count on a permanent cash flow, and on basis of this, very different business models work.
And what are the consequences of this?
The consequence is that additionally to the pressure of lack of funding and personnel, Yeah, there comes the pressure that these private owners, of course, have to produce a profit. And this puts an additional pressure, and the profits either being taken out or, in the case of private equity companies, in the form that they put a lot of loans on the target companies, and then these loans have to be paid back. Either way produces an additional loss of income for these care homes, which could have been used to hire more staff or to pay those who are there better.
Do you have indicators that the quality is worse in elder care homes that are run by big private for-profit companies?
This cannot be said in general, because it depends very much on the national system and how controls are organized and how strict the local authorities follow it. And so it has been proven for Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
It has been proven for Spain. It has been proven for United Kingdom, at least in parts of it. In other countries, this kind of proof is not there, is not available, because the public authorities do not investigate it.
Oh. Yeah?
Because usually the governments want private investors and private companies operating in this sector, because they believe that private companies can do it better and more efficiently than the state or charity organizations can do it. So they have no interest, yeah, in finding out whether this private investment is a problem or not. That makes it a bit difficult to really prove the general hypothesis. But on the other hand, what is quite clear is if there would not be profits extracted from the business, mm-hmm. there would be no investors. Yeah, it would make no sense. So whatever they say, it's quite clear when you need to make profits, you put an additional pressure on this. And there is another mechanism which is very important. In some national systems, these care home operators compete for the money coming from state coffers or from compulsory insurance schemes. And when these private operators try to increase the use of their capacity by making it cheaper, they probably either spare money with the wages of their staff or with the meals they give to their clients or whatever. And by this, they undermine the competitive position of, for example, charity companies, charity organized care homes, who would charge a bit more but have a better service.
Didn't you also find that the for-profit companies running elder care homes had a systematic lower share of personnel costs?
Yes. But on the other hand, they deny this. When you check the balance sheet, yeah, mm-hmm. because these are the only figures which are public, because for their investors and for their shareholders, they have to publish balance sheets and annual reports. And then you can make the calculation how much of the general turnover of the revenues is used for staff costs. You come to figures between 52-55%. But then when you ask those responsible in these companies, they have different explanations. So one says, yeah, our turnover is bigger because we sell to our clients additional comfort rooms and luxury of this and that kind. And this increases our turnover, and by this reduces the percentage, yeah, of our staff costs. But when you ask, can you give us some figures about that, then of course you are told that this is a business secret. So there's no check, no possibility to check whether this is true or not.
Okay.
Others say, no, your basis for calculation is wrong, because our general balance sheet includes other services which have nothing to do with the stationary care homes. So you underestimate our staff costs for the care homes, and so on. And again, this, there's no possibility to check it. So the general indication is the percentage of income, of revenue, these companies pay for staff seems to be quite low, but they have excuses for it. And these excuses, you cannot prove that they are not true. What you can have and what we do have is we talk to a lot of caregivers and nurses in homes are in care homes of the private operators. And really, in many of them, be it in Spain, be it in Portugal, be it in Italy, in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Sweden, all over the place, the answer was always, we feel that we are used to make a profit, and this makes our job even worse, even more complicated than it is anyway. So, of course, this is only anecdotal evidence, but to hear the opposite of caregivers who work in these homes is an exemption.
Can you tell us, Harald, what are the big players in the market? Who are we talking about?
There are two kind of actors, you might say, operators. The one are typical exchange-traded companies like the market leader Orpea, who has more than a thousand facilities, and the second market leader is Korian. They are ordinary exchange-traded companies with some big shareholders from pension funds or investment funds, but yeah, nothing complicated with here. Mm-hmm. And then there is a rising number of private equity companies who have only 5-6 years ago entered the business, and they follow a completely different business model. They buy care home chains in many countries, and then they make these care home chains pay for the purchase price by putting the credits they have taken to pay for these purchases, transferring these credits to their target companies. And this, of course, is a form of extraction, yeah, which is very high. This is, by the way, the reason why a very thorough and reliable calculation in the United Kingdom resulted in that around 10% of all revenues privately managed care homes in the UK have, they extract 10% of these revenues as profit. And this is money which is no longer available for improving the service of...
10% of turnover as profit.
Yeah, it's in the UK. Yeah. For other countries, there are no comparable figures available. And of course, in the UK, the percentage of privately owned care homes, and in particular of those who are owned by private equity companies, is very high. Yeah. So the UK, in a certain way, is a negative example. It shows where it can lead when you let the so-called market work here. In other countries, the percentage is lower, and in particular, private equity companies are not so dominant as in the UK. But I think, in particular, these finance investors, these private equity companies, they bring a high risk with it because of this transfer of the credits they need to buy or to purchase this care home chains. They are completely dependent on this permanent cash flow. So when it happens that due to a crisis or due to lack of income for the state or for the insurance companies, when one day it happens that the contributions are cut, then these companies immediately come in trouble. And this is exactly what also happened in the UK. There it has already happened twice that huge care home companies have gone bust and have been put in administration because somebody has to take care of the care homes. It's not like a factory. You cannot close it. Yeah. So sooner or later, the state will have to pay anyway. But it brings a lot of insecurity to the sector. And this makes it even more problematic for people to choose this profession when you not only have a low prestige, but when you have also a high insecurity, then you better vote for another job, for another profession.
So you're saying we have two problems. We have the quote-unquote normal for-profit corporations like Orpea, who bring their profit interests very strongly into that field. And on top of that, you have the even more problematic private equity part.
Yes.
So what's the political response to that? I mean, I'm still shocked from what you said, like that they're not properly check the quality of the care homes, even though there's billions and billions of taxpayer money in that. How does politics respond?
Well, it depends very much on the country and the circumstances. Yeah, so there is no common European picture here. But, for example, in France, they even have reduced Yeah, the number of doctors and care experts who are responsible for the control.
They did that now during COVID years.
During COVID years. Most countries even suspended the whole control procedure as a matter of protection against infections. So this has made the situation even worse. In other countries, there is more public awareness of the situation, and the government tries to increase step-by-step controls and to improve the situation. For example, in Germany, you have to admit, the current government has tried a lot to improve at least the wage levels, yeah, for staff, for caregivers and nurses. So at least on this regarding the pay, the situation has improved and is further improving in Germany. What is not improving is the number of people who actually work for the supervising authorities. We have several witnesses from several regional authorities who have said that we are simply not enough people to do only the regular controls. Yeah, you know, the law says at least once per year, every facility has to go under a thorough control by the authority. But there are regions where there is not sufficient staff.
Do you have positive examples of political action in the field?
Oh, yes. The most positive one comes from Norway. By the way, Norway is anyway the country which spends the most for elder care. But even with this high spending, there are more and more municipalities who are no longer content with private operators of their care homes, and they have started to re-municipalize the care homes. So I think the number of private care homes in the major cities of Norway has been reduced now to 5, and even those 5 are only waiting for the end of the of the concessions given to the private operators. One of the big international care home companies, the Swedish Attendo, has already decided to leave the Norwegian market, and the other one has warned the investors that the political risk in Norway is too high. So the Norwegians have taken the decision, more or less. And the vice mayor of Oslo has said to our team colleague Ingeborg Eliasson, private enterprises are good for the society when it comes to production and general services, but they are not good for such a sensitive issue like care for the elderly. There is no place for private profits here. And the same is said by the governor of the Austrian region Burgenland, where they have decided that until 2024, the latest, all private operators have either to change the statutes of their care home operations in the region to charity statute, or leave the region and let the municipalities take over.
And Harald, after you spent now several months investigating this issue, would you agree with them? Do you think there is a place of for-profit elder care homes or even private equity?
No, I don't think so. Look, care homes for the elderly are a classical part of the social infrastructure which has to be provided by public entities. It's the same thing as with schools or kindergartens or universities and so on. And nobody would dare to let finance investors run our kindergarten. Yeah? This has only been done with infrastructure, with facilities for those in need when they are very old. And I think the main reason is when we are old and very vulnerable, we have a very weak lobby. It's as simple as that. Of course, our relatives take care of us, or many of them, but And sometimes they complain very loud about the lousy circumstances in many care homes and so on. But in general, they are much weaker than economic interests or as are parents of kids, who would never let private financial investors run the kindergartens. They would never allow it. And every politician who would propose it would not be reelected. So I think this explains it.
Harald, in the investigations the whole team did, how did it go? Was it easy to get information from the corporations?
No. No, it was actually very complicated. And in particular, it was complicated to get documents or to find people who speak on the record about what went wrong in the care homes there were. There's a lot of fear in the sector.
You wrote about actual union busting activities.
Yes, this is a very special behavior of one of the companies, actually the biggest one, the market leader, Orpea. They follow, at least in some countries, an active policy of union busting by trying to put pressure on people who try to organize the caregivers and nurses in trade unions and to set up works councils and so on. Orpea actually undermines this kind of self-organizations on several levels. In particular, they really have tried to postpone and even sabotage the formation of a European Works Council, in spite of the fact that there is a European law which gives all workers, employees of transnational companies in Europe, the right to establish such a European Works Council. The boss of Orpea Germany told us in the interview that he's not ready to sign a collectively agreed contract with the trade unions because he thinks the trade unions have not sufficient members, which is true, but because caregivers usually organize themselves much less than it is usual in the industry or in other public services. This is a weakness, and I think nurses and caregivers do have a collective problem here. Yeah, this whole situation would improve immediately if they would only start to self-organize. But anyway, to fight against those who are trade union members and try to improve this situation and try to improve and set up works councils and so on, this is a very bad behavior by Orpea. And by the way, this is a big contrast to their main competitor, Corian, because what can be said, even confirmed by leading trade unionists, Corian tries to work with their staff, not against them.
So there is an option. Was there also pressure on Westgate Europe?
Well, in the very late phase, of course, we have always to confront the companies with our critical questions. And at least one of them really puts pressure on us and threatens us to sue for this any kind of critical wording about the company. So we have to be very careful in phrasing. And I'm still waiting for our lawyer to give a final go for the text we have written.
Okay. Harald, to sum up, what do you think was the most surprising thing for you in this investigation?
The most surprising thing is that the care sector and the business with the care sector now is a transnational European-wide business, but it is being dealt with on the political level or on the level of the clients, of the users, as if it were still only a national issue. There's nearly no European debate. Of course, the European Commission or the European institutions have no direct competence in regulating social issues. Yeah, these are of national competence. But on the other hand, what we live now with transnational companies buying more and more care home chains or with private equity investors from all over the world, even from the US and Canada and so on, entering this market is a classical result of the European single market. So it should be dealt with on a European level, but so far, not even the European Commission has taken an initiative here.
Thank you very much, Harald. And to you, our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more of our work and want to fund the multi-month investigations that Investigate Europe does, please go on our website and think about becoming one of our regular supporters. €5 a month already make a big difference to us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.